You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Hello, Nerd! Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Joining us today is Tyler Tippett, better known as Star Slinger 72, the ship's cook. What's up, Tyler?
What's going on, guys? I'm still alive.
Yeah, we're all still alive. So we'll get into that. But, oh my God, like, we have, like, not been able to podcast. And no joke, it's been 1 month because of all this, like, nonsense that we've had to go through. But I'm happy that we're back together again. Also, Also joining us today is Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, the ship's janitor. What's up, Blair?
What up, fam?
Not much, man. I'm happy to hear you. Like, no joke, I've had, like, a very long and shitty day, and your surly voice brings just a little bit of warmth to my heart, man.
Glad I could help.
Yeah, man. Like, thank you. Thank you. All right. So there's been, frankly, put a lot since we last casted. And you know what? I don't care about any of it. Well, I care about some of it. We do want to talk about, because points updates just came out. And we may as well just dive into that and talk about what we think and, you know, just sort of dig into the changes and what it's going to mean. But before we do that, we're going to jump into Vassal League signups. Alex wanted to tell us, wanted to remind us to tell everybody that Vassal League signups are going until next week. So that's the first week of July, right? Is that right? Do you know Blair if that's right, or Blair Tyler?
Next week is indeed the first week of July. Yes,
and it's going open until next week, right? We're real good at this.
Someone posted on the subreddit. If I can find it, I can't.
But if you wanna sign up, go to listfortress.com/league and sign up for Vassal League. If you're looking to get games of X-Wing in versus good players, it is absolutely a good way to go about doing that. And there's a lot of at the top end, there's a lot of really, really good X-Wing players playing from all over the world, and it's just kind of neat. I maybe should think about signing up for that only because, oh my God, guys, I haven't been able to, like, escape my house except for, no joke, one of the reasons why we didn't cast was a freaking funeral. It killed two podcasts. Anyways.
Ricky, signups close July 9th. Season begins July 11th. Season ends September 9th.
We've got someone in Deep Core still, right? Isn't Bob still in Deep Core?
Bob won Deep Core.
Yeah.
Really? What? God bless.
Yeah, he went undefeated with Kalen's Rebel Beef List.
God bless, Bob. I love you, Dr. Bob. He was thinking about being here, but if you weren't aware, Dr. Bob had a baby and is likely taking care of that cute little baby. I don't know if he had a should know this. I don't hear you guys talking up a baby boy. I thought he had a boy. He had a baby boy, Craig Edward Randall. Randall. He's gonna be spouting out X-Wing statistics in no time.
Pretty much.
So Bob won, so yeah, Bob, we're still doing all right with the Vassal stuff, even though our boy Will lost to Chris Allen in the final of Aces League.
Yo.
I don't know what to say. Chris is king. All hail it's Chris, true. You know. Well done, buddy. All right, so let's jump into points. Is there anything else we want to talk about before jumping into points changes? Because I need to be taught what's good at X-Wing again, since I haven't had a chance to play in like a month because I've been stuck at my house because my wife's working at night. So I have to like stay here because apparently, okay, guys, I just found this out, but apparently you cannot leave your house if you have an infant also still at your house and no adults around.
Interesting. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but interesting.
But either way, it turns out that's like, it feels like it's illegal. My wife says it's illegal. I've tried, but you know, she's like, no. Anyway, so yeah, we'll look into it. We'll find out. I'm sure that she could just show up and we'll just make like Matt watch her or something. Anyways.
Ricky, I got some.
What's up?
So there's the European Championship happening in, I think, August this coming year. And someone put together a team, generally took one person from all the big podcasts and used them to form the team. And they came and hit us up, and they went to Tim Hilton's top 50 rankings and picked the one of us that performed the second best and asked him to come play on their team. So
you mean like third best, right? Like, I'm not even on that ranking.
That is.
Well, how did this come to happen, Tyler? I just like saw the Facebook post that it was happening. I was like, huh?
Okay, so
this is what you get for not being in, like, for not regularly participating in cancer chat.
That's what I get.
No, that's not what it is at all. No, very legitimately, like, so they've been talking about it, but like, it was just kind of a private, like, hey, we want to take some people over, who can go, kind of a deal, right? So they're just reaching out to big, like, X-Wing players that are good at the game that also have disposable income and disposable vacation time. So, you know, people with families need not apply, that kind of thing, right? And then I won Chicago, and it was like the next day they added me to the Facebook group, and they're like, oh, I guess he won something. We can ask him now.
Well, go Team USA. Tyler, I believe in you.
Yeah.
And, you know, represent America as only you truly can.
I mean, I'm going to do my best. We'll see how it goes.
That's going to be awesome. I mean, we historically do all right at team tournaments, so.
Yeah, oh no, I feel really good. I mean, like, so for those of you who have been under a rock and haven't seen, like, the GoFundMe account, which is not like a traditional GoFundMe where it's like, we just want your money. This is a GoFundMe where we want your money, but we'll give you stuff for it. So there's some cool things in there. You can get like
this. Do you have a link for that? I'll put them in the show notes. It'll make it seem like I knew what I was going to do ahead of time.
Not only do I have a link, but it's already been linked on our podcast page and my page and that kind of stuff. So, but there's so it's like you can get a team shirt if you want to like be a crazy big donor. You can actually get your name on the back of the team shirt as a sponsor. Things like that. I think it's like $5 and we'll send you a signed postcard from Poland. You know, so it's not just please give us your money. It's like we'll at least do stuff for it. But that's way, I'm excited because that's just we'll be there for a week and
it'll be fun.
Yeah. And like, I'm not playing a week of X-Wing. I'm going to go like explore Poland for multiple days. Like there was the group chat. It's like, okay, we can sign up for hyperspace. It's like, we all have our world's invites and half of us have paid world's invites. Like I'm just going to go do other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That was no joke. I the last world's trip, I only spent like a day or two in FFG and the rest of the time I spent in Minneapolis. I'm like, oh
yeah,
this is awesome. It's way better to do it this way.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, we'll link to that in the show notes and you can go and give Tyler money to go, kick ass against some Europeans.
Yeah.
Let's jump into some point changes unless we don't have anything else to talk about, right?
That's about it, I think.
Right. Let's do it. All right. So, there were some, I don't know if we have to go into every single points change only because by this point, half the listeners have heard it from like three other people already. And it's Thursday. What did this happen like Tuesday?
Like,
it was
Monday
or Tuesday. Yeah. It was Monday or Tuesday. So it's been out like no more than 4 days. And like it's already been beaten down to death and a new meta, blah, 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 right? But let's jump into like some of the major changes that happened with each faction and what that means for their lists moving forward. So let's start off with what is, to me, clearly the biggest change, which is like the pieces of those Rebel Beef lists were all almost without fail moved up it by several points each. Like, you know, Braylon went up 4, Tin went up 2, Wedge went up 3. I mean, there's a whole bunch of these. So,
so of all the components,
Who wants to break this down? Oh, yeah, Leia, clearly, too.
Leia went up 4. Veteran turret gainer went up if you actually brought Horton. So if you brought, like, Kaelin's version of it. Swarm tactics went up by, it went to variable cost. So.
Yeah, so what does this mean for these Rebel beef lists? Like, what do they look like now, or do they look like anything at all?
I'm actually happy with it because you can still play a Rebel beef list. The big difference, though, is you're going to have to make a choice in your Rebel beef list, right? Like, you don't get everything. You get a couple of the things. Because the traditional list had like 7 or 8 points to play with after the 4 ships were involved.
Mm-hmm.
So you still can have 4, like, 1 or 2 of those ships. You just can't get Wedge, Cassian, Braylon, and somebody extra, right? Like, you're going to have to either bring a generic or TAC officer went up 4 points as well. Talk about.
Yeah, you see, that seemed like that of the nerfs, it seemed like that was the one that, like, I didn't quite understand, because TAC officer, I mean, it wasn't a bad card, but it individually didn't scream to me as being like overpowered at all.
That was the 2 points that you dropped in the list to be the first of the time. Right. So, I don't know. And it like soft nerfs scum too, right? Like all the small coordinate craft that have red coordinate, right? So your escape craft, your Cethopedes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like that. Like, and they to be honest, like overall, like scum still felt like it was lacking lists ahead anyways.
Well, we can get to scum later, but I think Rebels are still in a fine place. Blair, how do you feel? Like, all your stuff basically didn't get touched, and...
You said you can still bring 10 Braylon Cassian, but you have to drop something like Fly a Generic.
No, well, I said you can still bring 4 ships, but you don't get all of, like, the name ships. Like, you'll only get, like, 2 of the name ships now.
So, you can still fit 10 Braylon, Cassian, and Biggs, and still have 2 points left over.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good list, man.
Does that? But no Leia, right?
No Leia.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, the idea that, like, Rebels just got buried now is just... That is a good freaking list!
Yeah.
Like, you've still got damage spread, you've still got some heavy hitters. That is still a damn good list.
You and I were chatting about this before the cast, Blair, and this is something that I don't quite understand. Like, can you, between all of the X-Wings that I thought were going to get hit, I thought for sure it would be Biggs before Wedge. Dude, and not only did Biggs not get hit, but Wedge got hit with 3. Like, is there something that I'm missing here?
No, you aren't missing anything. The group at large that plays X-Wing is missing something, and that is, they just don't get it. Like, Biggs is really freaking good, so...
Yeah, like, he was the one, like, the bigger... Like, Wedge is, I think, I've always said that he's, like, I wouldn't call him good, but he's good for his points.
Yeah.
He's
a pocket I-6. Like, his ability is only okay, but, like, he's still an I-6 X-Wing. And he does damage. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, if I was going to pick between the two, it would have definitely been Biggs. Biggs is still like really, really good.
And disgustingly good.
Yeah. Ugh. So, obviously the beef lists are a little bit like a nerf, but I will note that we might be seeing some Hawks again now that they've gone down a little bit, and I think Rebel Hawks are good.
Yeah,
I think all the Hawks are good except for Dace.
Oh, Dace.
Dace.
All right. So I guess moving on a little bit, Ricky. A lot of people. The big reaction I saw was that, like, scum, just like everyone, like crying. Scum didn't get any help at all. Why do you hate scum?
Do we want to move on to that faction?
Well, do you want to still talk about Rebels? You want to talk about
No, who cares a shit about Rebels?
Han Loss is lizard. Well, one thing that was kind of crazy to me just is that every faction actually all got cheaper overall. Rebels only barely got cheaper by a quarter of a percentile. But everyone across the board actually got cheaper. But the thing that I think these scum players have to understand like, the devs aren't in the business of saying, okay, Scum hasn't had a real dominant list yet in 2.0. Let's let this be the Scum, the next, let's let it be Scum's era.
Yeah, like, no.
They want to make everything as balanced as they can, is what they're going for. So you have to look at, yes, they didn't get a whole lot better, but all the top stuff got a whole lot worse. And Scum wasn't, like, horrible, it was just it wasn't as good as Rebel Beef and Quad Phantoms and the like. But I'm looking at one of the big sleepers, I think, that I don't see anyone talking about is the Cartel Marauder. If you're in the business of, like, a 40-ish point jouster, yeah. I don't think there's any better value than that ship right now. It's 3 points cheaper than an X-Wing. You don't have S-Foils, but that's not a huge loss to me. The dial is comparable.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a shield for a hole. Okay, that's 1 point. You're still 2 points cheaper. I think that ship is an absolute steal at 38. I'm looking at three of those guys, L37 and Torkoal with Moldy Crow, and you've still got 5 points left to play with for a hull upgrade or something like triple O. That seems really good to me.
I mean, that sounds interesting.
I can see that. That's going to hit hard.
But Will has been talking about that you can get five of them with mm-hmm. Deadman switches.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but five of them I don't think is bad, though, right? Like, so having that being like that, what do you, Blair, you're talking about bringing three of those, right? Like, as like a core of like a list.
I mean, that's basically my Phoenix list, except mm-hmm. I get coordinate on my Z95, and instead of a generic Hawk, I get Torkoal, who has an awesome pilot ability, particularly in that squad loadout.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, no more getting initiative killed, basically. That seems really good to me in this new points update. So
I don't know why Boba Fett went down. What the hell, like, are we smoking? Like, haven't we seen this movie?
He didn't really do a whole lot in, I don't know. I get that, yeah, he was too good initially, but, I mean, he really dropped off the face of the earth this last yeah. 6 months. I mean, you didn't mm-hmm. see him at all. So
yeah, he couldn't deal with Rebel Beef.
They dropped all the fire sprays, though, so that's nice to see, is that they recognize all of them weren't that good.
One of the biggest hits was against Drea, though, like, right? So Drea Rinthal goes up 7 points, and, like, I you were saying this, Blair, like, they didn't even touch Howl Runner, and I'm like, yeah, what the hell? Although I think Drea was better than Howl overall, like, as far as, like, an individual ship, but still 7 points? Ugh.
This was really shocking to me, because I felt like didn't you guys see how good Drea was initially?
Mm-hmm.
When, like, the 7 Drea swarm was crushing everything. Like, really, if it wasn't for like Trajectory Simulator, that squad, and it already was one of the best squads. So that was really mm-hmm. shocking to me when she went up like 2 of the first points update and then 7 this last one. I get Dreadlocks was a good list, but that list also went up like 9 points across the board because of they shot Veteran Turret Gunner and Dorsal back up. But you look at the looking at the hyperspace results, in the top 5 lists, you had 4 Rebel Beef variants and then an Inferno Squadron at number 2. Nothing else was really close. So that was just really shocking to me that they hit that so hard but felt like TIE Swarm was fine. If you look at, if you have 3 ships, if you have 4 ships, 2 with 3 attack dice and a focus, 2 with 2 attack dice and a focus and a target lock, into 1 agility, you're taking 6 damage. Into 3 agility, you're taking 3 damage.
Okay.
So if you factor in Iden, that's basically 75% damage on, let's just say Iden takes away 1 damage. That's basically 75% damage on Howl and Iden. Okay, or, sorry, Hallandrea.
Mm-hmm.
You figure Iden's ability is probably worth about 12, 11 points, so that puts Hal at 51, 52, and Drea is 49. But Hal works on herself, so I don't know. I was really shocked. I mean, I guess Swarm Tactics went up, so the Inferno Squad is getting a slight hit. I was really thinking that list is going to go up at least one or two somewhere.
Are you talking about the Hal Swarm?
The Inferno Swarm that's six named Halrunner.
It's still well, I mean, it's the version that I run's like still completely legal. It went up a point.
Yeah.
It went up one point.
Yeah, like it went up 1 point. Like that's in grand scheme of things, I think that's still probably the best swarm.
Rebel Beef and that were clearly the two best hyperspace lists. Yeah. It wasn't really close.
I think that grand scheme of things, you're right. I don't know what else was good.
Kylo Ops is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, you got to be bun to do that.
Yeah, well, but also, like, I don't think enough people understand just how obnoxiously good Sense Vader is. Which is also still totally legal.
Oh, yeah, it went down! It went down!
Sense went down, yeah, but Vader and Fel went up. So I basically lost Crackshot in my 1 point bid.
What are you going to do, man? Yeah. That's very interesting because you and I were also talking about this earlier, too. Like, my theory on this is I think that we've now gone through how many points changes with the TIE Swarm? Not how many points changes. It's been, what, three now? This is the third one?
Oh, yeah, they haven't touched the TIE. I don't think they're going to touch the TIE.
Yeah, I don't think they are. I don't think they are either. I think that list is their bellwether.
Yep. That's their benchmark for everything.
Yeah, it's like the best list is going to, like, needs to be somewhere around where the TIE Swarm is. That's my assumption. I mean, who knows? Like, maybe they'll nerf it in the next points change. But considering that they've done so little to it, I think that's starting to be something that at least I'm gonna. That's a running theory I have now. Anything else that we want to before we move on? Like, anything else we want to talk about in Scum that we need to mention? Guri went up a little bit. I mean, 1 point seems like a small little nudge, but yeah, I mean, she still seems okay.
No, Guri, it's weird to me that we didn't see Boba Guri lists fighting Rebel Beef lists, because those Rebel Beef lists should have never shot them. Like, Guri's positioning and Boba with Slave One, you just never get to hit them. Like, so I just don't think people want to play Boba when you don't get when Boba's on easy mode with your free Han focus.
Right, you know? Right. But still, he's like still outrageously good. He's like double mods, really, right? I mean, turns out double mods is a good thing.
Or having mods after your after you reposition. Like,
Right on. So let us move on, since that's most of the Scum stuff. Although, shouts out to the party bus going down.
Jumpmasters went down. Yeah,
everyone but Manaru.
You there's some meme Jumpmaster lists out there. Like, you can get four Jumpmasters with advanced proton torpedoes.
You can get Dengar and three Marauders.
Yeah, like the one I had, like three advanced proton torpedo jumps, and then like the two of the escape, like one of the autopilot drone, and then Outer Rim Pioneer. So, like, even if I was on a rock, I could still torp you.
Man, Dengar's got that, that his ability is good enough to where if Dengar is, like, if he is within a points range, he's good. Man, at 56? Maybe.
How about the IGs? They dropped everyone but A.
Yeah.
Anyone think they're...
Nope.
I'd like to see three. I think that's kind of neat, but I don't know, man. That's not my play style. Like, we'd have to ask Will. That's Will or Bob.
I didn't love, like, 1.0 Brobots just because they got by on so many just passive mods, but I love the idea of them.
Yeah.
And I really hope they become like viable at some point, because I enjoyed flying them in one point. I felt like they were a little bit too good, but I wish they would have dropped a 1.2, because he's, I don't really know if it's worth bringing him without bringing him.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So it's really a 2-point buff to the list, not a 3-point.
Yeah, I mean, no one's gonna fly. I can't believe D is still 64. Like, no one's gonna fly him. Come on.
Who's that?
The guy that his. If you do a sloop, you can do the hard three.
I remember. Blair, you remember way back in the day? I'm pretty sure that was like one of Thierry's favorite ones. Was the guy who could do that move?
I'm sure it was.
Everyone thought he was going to be good, but then you quickly realized that like it was basically as good as a sloop. So what the hell am I paying for? I'd rather get a free evade.
Yeah.
When I boost, that's what made those IGs so good. Is that okay? I'm out of range. All right, free boost, free evade. Now yeah. I'm in range. Range 3, though, you would just set it up to where you're either going to be just out of range or range 3. So then I just take a boost, get the evade, it's fine. Now you got to shoot at my autos, I got HLC, so you don't get it. That's what made them so good. And the passive mods from FCS or Predator or what have you, they lost all that now. So even the fact that you can have 3 of them instead of 2, this really goes to show how good those 1.0 passive mods were.
Yeah, it's... I remember that thing, like, I don't know, like, in the end, it became obviously like a weird style skill list with those, but even still, I mean, that's clearly correct. All right, so anyways, let's move on to, we've been kind of hinting at Empire, let's just dive in. Tie Swarm, like your traditional Tie Swarms certainly at least the one that Tyler and I were running is, you know, the... More or less the exact same, except your swarm tactics goes up a point for Howlrunner, so you know that's good for the good guys. But some other things got hit pretty hard. So Whisper goes up 3 points. Echo goes up a point. RIP Echo. I actually want Echo to be the good TIE Phantom.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. Anyways, but Sigmas go up in Imdars, all go up. They lose crew and, that happened last time. Goodbye Quad Phantoms, right?
No, God, no. Are you kidding me? you realize three with Juke and Gideon still fits with 5 points to spare?
Oh, well... Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yep.
Yeah, Gideon's really good by himself, too. You're not going to be shooting him. Unless you want to just score points real quick.
Well, and they're all...
And then that's a win, right? And that's a win, too.
Yeah, but they're all in at fours, right? So you're going to have 3 juke shots coming into you before Gideon. So he's probably going to get his extra die.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Also, not nice, nice. But... I mean... What do you think needs to be done before, like, because here's the thing, like, do we like that combo, or like, is that something that we want in the game? Is this, like, the Sigma Juke, or like this Phantom Juke, like, option? Like, do we should just eliminate that combo, and then it's not as difficult, or even still, like... Because here's the thing, like, I actually started having fun with the Phantoms, and I think the mechanic is neat, but on the flip side, it seems like it never, like, really gets better and extended. It just continues to dominate. Like, is this something that we want to get rid of altogether, or what needs to be done to... Is this enough, I guess, or what else needs to be done?
Get rid of what altogether?
You know, this like mass Phantom list.
Well, what's mass Phantom? Is it bad because of like the juke stacking? Is that what you think? Well,
I guess my question is stylistically, do we want to get rid of this list, or is that, or is there a point of inflection where it doesn't become, frankly, boring to watch Quad Phantoms again, or a version of them again? Like, what's the inflection point of it actually being a worthwhile, fun list?
I mean, I like Quad Phantoms and because I think it's actually an engaging game. I understand some people don't like Quad Phantoms because it's hard for them to actually fight against them. Like, but
the problem was your jousting value was up there with the highest jousting list, but then your opponent also has to factor in, I can decloak left, I can decloak right, yep. or I can decloak. I have to plan for all three of these things. That's what made it so tough, is we're basically on the same jousting level, but you have better mobility. You don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And they've basically got to the point where I think they've realized that they just have to point cost juke around the Phantoms and the Defenders of the world. Is that if you
Which,
don't
that's
get,
totally fine.
Yeah. Right. If you don't get free or cheap evades, it's really not worth it to take juke. They've more or less just accepted that that's just how they have to point cost that.
Yep.
All right, so other stuff in Empire, all of the decimators go down significantly. They all go down 4 maybe. Points.
and they got an added crew slot.
Yeah, so
that's a non-trivial thing.
That is a, I guess, welcome back fat decimators. Like, Tyler, like, are we going to be seeing some Rack Fell, some Rack Whisper
so
again?
We saw, not for me or not, we saw Rack
You're like,
Whisper.
I'm done. I'm done forever. Yeah.
No, not at all. We'll get to that. So we saw Rack Whisper was like the number one out of Swiss over in a big European tournament. Mm-hmm. It just got murdered in the cut. But like that's promising. You can do some cool things. And I think it actually was a low-key good response to Rebel Beef. Mm-hmm. Because you just jammed it down their throat, right? And just be like, okay, deal with me. Like, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it's cheaper and you get an extra crew.
I like Oiken yeah. with Intimidation and Dauntless. That's only 81 points, man.
He's always had a good ability, too.
That's pretty good to be able to like ram into a guy. I get an action. I reduce your agility. You can't shoot me. I can shoot you. That's damn good.
Out of turn, like out of combat damage, too, is just so good versus higher.
He doesn't do damage anymore. He basically has Zeb's 1.0 abilities. He can, he can shoot people at range zero.
So if you block, you've got your own.
If we bump into each other, I get to shoot you and you can't shoot me. Yeah. And I reduce your agility because intimidation. And and I get an action because of Dauntless.
Yep.
That is super good.
Yep. And you probably want Tua in there.
Like, there's a bunch of stuff that you could take. If you bring Vader as your ace, you can take triple O. That's really good. Death Troopers isn't bad.
So
slamming into people.
What about what do you guys think about Sienna Ree going down 4 points?
So I think Sienna Ree is really, really good. I just don't think anybody's been smart enough to actually like figure out how to play it yet. Yeah. Like I saw,
you know, they're going to be looking at 4 points.
I mean, they already were. It was at Arizona, right, Blair?
Yeah,
like the guy you had to play against had like Sienna Ree and Trajectory Simulator Punishers. Yeah. So it'd be like he'd look where you were and then like corkscrew a bomb around a freaking corner by like doing a coordinate thing.
Yeah,
it was
But there's tons of stuff you can do with Sienna. I agree. Yeah, it's really complicated. It's one of those cards. It's just like there's not like a baseline, like stat statistical, you can't like look at it and be like, okay, this is gonna boost my damage output by such and such. It's more like a mobility thing, so it's really tough to kind of gauge how good it is. But it is really good. The fact that you can flip guys around, that is really good, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're more or less giving like talent rolls to like any ship you want. Like that is really freaking good.
I like the fact that you can do that off of a barrel roll is like I'm visualizing that now and that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Like how Punisher is just like you set up the blocking lane, nope, barrel roll out, and then just do like a three bank and then
So you were saying something about like they'd use Sienna to set up bombs for the next turn?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
You can do all sorts of shenanigans with her.
Yeah,
but
yeah, right.
I agree. Most people just aren't willing to like dedicate the time to figure out how to figure her out.
Yeah, and almost cutting the points in half. I think like you'll see a little bit more of that. Interesting. That's cool. Let's see here. Anything to say about the advanced X1? I mean, the Inquisitor has at least got to get a look, right?
Yeah. No.
No?
He's way too four-starved. I mean, honestly, no. He's just way too four-starved.
I never liked that ship in 1.0 anyway, so...
No, I hated the quiz.
All right, so of the newbie factions, who do we want to go over first?
Okay, so I'll take a quick aside. What I was saying about the Decimator and the reason that, like, even with the points going down on the crew, you can do some cool stuff with it, but you're at your opponent's discretion on ever playing the game. Like, 95% of all of the ships out there can just run away from a Decimator. Like, it can't catch them, it can't turn fast enough, it can't
No engine upgrade anymore, right?
Yeah, right. And no barrel roll, right? Like, it doesn't get either. So, like, sorry, guys. Wish you could play, but you didn't get to, so whatever.
How about passive sensors on gunboats?
Yeah. Passive sensors across the board is at least interesting. Like, yeah. I'm intrigued by it.
Well, I don't really think it's very good on, unless it's an ordnance carrier, really.
Yeah, yes, 90% of them is on ordnance carriers. I will at least hear the passive sensors debate for Phantoms, because it gives you access to target lock. Like, that's a non-trivial thing.
True. You can take, like, Fifth Brother and just get full mods.
That too. But I mean, like, with a coordinating ship, that kind of stuff, now you have target lock and focus, which is good. But where was I at? Yeah, I lost it. On Vader. Like, actually, on Vader is a non... is an interesting space. Because you move into block, and then he activates at 6, and you target lock, and then you force off of that to barrel roll off, and then light someone up at range 1 that has no mods and can't shoot you back.
So you think Vader's still fine at 67? I mean, I think he's still all right.
Yes, I think Vader. Oh, yeah, 100% Vader's fine.
Yeah, like Vader.
Say that again, Tyler.
Okay, so I have passive sensors on Vader, correct?
Yeah.
So I also generally have sense on Vader.
Oh, you spend the force to... Gotcha, you spend the force to do another action.
In the combat phase. So yeah. now I super don't need a bid. So now I can block you and roll off you. It's really corner case on how useful it is, right? Because it's only a good against other I6s, basically. Unless you kind of get some weird places where it's like, you become insanely hard to block and punish, because I can generally at least still roll in the combat round, assuming I get the passive sensor's activation. So I've got to have someone activate it for me. But yeah.
All right, so you guys want to move on to one of the newbie factions?
Sure.
The ones who we never play, we're probably never going to play.
Between the factions, I do have a Republic list. I have a Republic list, which probably isn't legal anymore, but we'll find out. All right, so let's talk Resistance real quick.
Sure.
For starters, the one that really stands out is Ray dropped like a hammer, 7 points, which that seems like that's available for being really good. And then really all of the 1300s went down, which is interesting, especially for the Resistance. I feel like they need some other archetypes, and that'll help with that. Although, frankly... I'm forever like scarred on fat like turret ships, so we'll see if that ends up being degenerate or something along those lines. The Star Fortresses all went down, which is kind of cool. I was a little surprised. How surprised are we at the Resistance A-Wings going up? Like, I kind of felt like
zero?
That was going to happen.
They didn't go up enough?
You think so?
Keep going. Like, yeah. I mean, they got close. Lulo, I wanted to go up at least 6. He went up 5. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess those lists were doing well for like a second, but then like Rebel Beef just and got them, like, kind of drove them out for a while, right? Or is it just that people got bored flying it?
Just lose. So they had a hard time with Rebel Beef. That's damn. So that's very true. Like, I will give you all that, but I don't know. Like, I think the A-Wings are still good. The Poe and 3A was fine. It was a fine list and still strong. So, yeah. Like, I'm okay with that. And if, like, with Rebel Beef getting priced into the Stratosphere, the A-Wings would have been fine. And being able to have five with all of those named points or, like, abilities was always just, I didn't care for that.
So let's talk about the new ship that came out, the Transport. Pretty damn cheap for either version, in my opinion. Like, do we see like some lists coming out of that ship?
I assume it's cheap coordinate. I assume someone's gonna find it, right?
Yeah, like cheap coordinate never gonna be bad. I think that like that certainly goes well with A-Wings because you can flip your If you can potentially pull off some like crazy actions and stuff like that. I don't know. I haven't thought of anything myself, but I haven't, like I said, I haven't really dug into the newer stuff just because I haven't had a chance to get it on the table.
Oh, here, let me help you out there. So there's a new upgrade called angled deflectors or something like that, where you get reinforced. And then there's a crew member called Holdo where you can hand your tokens to other ships and take tokens from them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, seems okay, right? But then now you could do things like have Poe that's never stressed at the start of every turn and has reinforce along with his target lock and focus.
Ooh.
Like, seems okay.
That's pretty interesting. I'm not into like super ace Poe. Like,
I don't even know if that's super ace. That's like Brawler Boba Fett style Poe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just roll up to you because I have reinforced full mods and I'm going to punch you in the face and then I'm going to go out the other side and regen.
Are there anything else in Resistance that we need to kind of point out, or do we want to move to one of the other ones?
So there's the quad T70, I think, is still a thing, and I think more people should look at it because it's good.
Hey, and Jess Pava going down. I think Jess is.
Yeah, and it got cheaper.
Always had potential.
So like you can get someone was flying it at Seattle, and one of my locals, Nick, loves Jess and has forever. But like Jess, and then three Red Squadron vets with heroic, and now you can actually fit like R2s on, or Astromechs on them because you have free points still.
Yeah,
like that's a scary amount of guns and hull behind decent defense.
I can certainly see it. I did it was a Jess list I ran that had her and some A-Wings, and I think that
snap crack shots. Yeah.
Yeah, that might still be all right. It makes it a little bit more expensive now. Anyways, yeah, that wasn't a bad list either, so I don't know if it was great, but still like that had some potential there. Let's see here. Is there anything else we want to talk about with Resistance, or do we move on to First Order?
Blair, did you have anything on Resistance you wanted to add?
No. I am looking at Ray just to kind of see. But
7-point drop, right? Like, that seems insane.
Seems pretty good. And she's a large base boosting ship with force. Like,
so here's the question. So Rose seems pretty decent on her. Because obviously you're taking Finn, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so it seems now you'd want to take Rose, because you're going to get all these blanks to spend. Is Freelance Slicer worth it then? For 3?
I want to put those... Every time I look at those upgrades, like the Slicers, I want to include them, but I have never figured out an opportunity for it.
I mean, you figure like Rose... Like, Rey is very rarely going to care about getting jammed anyway, because she's just going to be living off passive mods. So, if I get jammed anyway, fine. I jam you before you attack.
Maybe.
But I guess it happens after Rose triggers, so not that good. But seems like Rose would be decent, though. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well, so you would need to have shot and trigger Rose. You can't do it on the defense.
Rose is, while you defend or perform an attack.
Right. So the problem is your jam opportunity to, like, spend the target lock to jam them, right, has already passed.
Yeah.
It's like, while you defend before attack action rolled. Yep. Yeah. So you would have to have get the target lock and not use it with Rose on your shot. So, but I don't know. Maybe.
If you're taking shots back, though, I mean, if you figure, okay, I'm going to save the force, and then you just save the lock for defense.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got, Ricky.
So let's talk about First Order, because one thing you notice about First Order, sans like the great like outlier of Tabson, like everything's going down in the First Order. Everything. And
no, that's not true. The Cardinal, like Rishnu or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's Captain not, Cardinal.
It's not Cardinal Rishnu, but yeah. It's Captain Cardinal. He went up for some reason.
Yeah,
like, I'm literally looking up what he does.
Some of the Upsilons went up. I think they went up because they're Upsilons. But
no, they did.
Everything else goes down. Hux goes down 4, but I'm thinking like on the Typhos. Like I had been trying to build some Typho swarms, and
just 6 of them. Go.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking is like there's even more points now to play with, and that was close to being something fun already. So I'm really curious, like what fun Typho swarm that we can
oh, you're thinking with. FOs. I'm thinking SFs, man. Like SFs got went down in price too. Like
whoo. Yeah. So there's some cool swarms of those guys too, and those guys hit hard and are really tough.
Yeah, well, but like just the generics without the gunner, man. They're cheap. Mm-hmm. Like they're real. Like I've said it for what going on 6, maybe 9 months now. Mm-hmm. Like if we ever get a good missile that is not super expensive, like First Order is just gonna run everything over because the SF is such a disgustingly good missile platform.
Yeah, it's funny that we still don't have like a really good missile yet, or like even an okay missile. Like there's now the torpedoes. Like I think that plasmas, whenever they come out, are gonna be okay.
They're out. They're out right now. No, two. Are you kidding me? Plasmas are gonna be great.
Yeah, like I think theoretically, like is it plasmas or protons? Which do you think is better? And like we'll just do this now. 9 and 13.
Thanks, Andrew, for the math.
Yeah.
But against anything that is like 2 agility or less that has a shield. Mm-hmm. It's like single decimal or it's like percent. It's like 2.56 to 2.5, like difference in damage, expected damage.
Okay.
Kind of a deal, right? So like granted, you will have a crit avoided on the plasma torp easier and the proton will crit. Mm-hmm. So assuming that you punch through the shields and get into hull, that crits a non-trivial portion.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like
versus shields, it's about the same.
That's what I'm saying. If they have a shield.
Versus hull, clearly protons, like, better per damage.
Yeah, it is. But how much stuff are you shooting in an entire tournament that doesn't have shields? Right?
And you're also talking a 4-point, like, you get 4 points to go other places.
Yep. I think plasmas are very good. You do have the, like, opportunity cost of you have to land the hit to get the shield strip. Mm-hmm. But, like, look at everything that's in the meta. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's heavily shielded Agi 2, maybe? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you won't hit Soonter. Sorry.
So going back to Blair, are you on the same page that you think that plasmas are clearly better for the points if you can get them?
It's really going to come down to, I think you're going to see plasmas more than protons because the only guys that carry ordnance still really are higher initiative guys. So if
they're,
guy,
they're also first, more likely to have shields, right?
They're more likely to have shields when that guy fires.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So let's talk about these Typho swarms. Because is there anything offhand like that you guys think would be? Because Scorch is good, Midnight's good.
Scorch is good, Midnight good, Muse is good.
Longshot's not bad.
Null is still really good.
Like I like all those guys.
Yeah. No, I mean like there's.
I think Longshot's okay to be honest.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Your range yeah, 3 band is his. You get real you big. Get as many range 3 shots as you do range 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, because it's the same size, but that seems pretty good to me. They also, yeah, most of them for the most part seem pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm gonna poke around on that and see if there's anything that I can come up with that's fun and give that a go. I've got that many Typhos too.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why.
You corsets. Let's be real. Yeah. No. So like the other trick with Typhos is like Fanatical Optics is real good.
Mm-hmm.
Like man, is that real good? So they. I mean.
Yeah.
What do you? Was it? Is it the Zeta? Is that the one with the? Nope. It's not the Zeta. Second, I'm working on my phone. I've decided to podcast from my couch for listeners out there.
The Omega?
The Omega Squadron Ace, yeah, with Fanatic. And, it's 35. Now it is, Why is it going to be 35?
Can't have nice things.
The Omega Squadron Ace?
Yeah.
With Fanatic and what?
Optics.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, you can...
Eyeball to the... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Fanatic Optics is amazing. That's my loadout on Midnight because it's like as soon as you use that shield, all you do is and it's you have to double blank to not get two hits.
Right. And that I mean that's pretty damn consistent damage.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. It's very very good consistent two hits over and over again.
Is what the Houseworm does really.
Yeah. That's exactly the same and. It's weird. Like, if I don't know if you guys have gone over and looked at the now Fly Better, formerly Minox Squadron podcast daily discussions.
Yeah. R.I.P. Minox Squadron. FFG doesn't control us, so we're gonna continue to love you the way you deserve to be loved.
FFG didn't control them either. It was all preemptive. So
yeah,
but they've been posting quizzes like. I think every day, maybe every other day, something like that, where it's like they should like Ryan posts like a vassal shot of here's a layout of, you know, some ships and like, what should you do with these actions? Who should shoot who? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like it's taken from like the old chess, like what's the right answer problems that you'd see.
Yeah. I don't know
if you played chess.
I did. I went to chess nationals in high school.
Man, look at you. Super turbo nerd. Yeah. So anyway, the number of people that just utterly discount like a two dice focus shot like that's not going to cause any damage to me like no that's going to cause damage to you like this is 2.0 two dice shots hurt and they hit consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the 5 A-wings we were talking about.
You just over time and although the A-wings like their arc coverage made them so good, although if you have six, you know, if you had six Typhos, I mean you got the shots. You have
good arcs. Yeah No, so you could still, like, across the board, I think the TIEFOs and the TIEFs have interesting space. Hux coming down, like, I've wanted to mess around
it was another
interesting stuff with, like, with SFs, like, I don't know, maybe some, like, juking SFs that'll have focus evades, because Hux gives 3 of them an evades, and then they move forward clear, all focus, that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or something, but, like, it's at least interesting. It's something that you don't see every day. So, double Star Killer with Bio Hexacrypt and Kylo with Hate fits, and that shit's gonna be nonsense. So, that's good luck.
Yeah, so we'll see how that ends up. But I want to see some Typho swarms. I'm excited about that. All right, so let's go to the last two the newest factions with the. Republic and Separatists. What do you guys want to do first, Republic or Separatists?
Blair, what do you want?
We want to talk about...
We're really reaching here.
Yeah?
Any of these ships, Tyler?
Absolutely not. I will consider...
I got a Republic list, man.
I can't play Republic. Like, even though they're the future Empire, I can't play Republic.
Yeah, I mean, they're really the bad guys, right?
They are. It's true. And I should, because Anakin's real good. But anyway, with Separatists, like, I could consider a Separatist list now, and I was pretty close to buying in on Double Infiltrator just because that was a fun jank list. And is still totally viable. Everyone that's like, oh, hey, got too expensive. Like, no, trust me, you had points to play with. It'll be fine. And, oh, look at that. You picked up 8 points on the freeing up from the plasma, going to plasma torps instead of protons. Cool. The Vulture Droids got cheaper by 1 point, and Grappling Struts went to 1 point. So you basically got free Grapple Struts if you wanted them, or if you took the Energy Shells, they went up a point. So it's like the Energy Shell Vulture is still a wash. So you can get 8 Energy Shell Vultures with Struts in a list now. I don't think that's good, but you can do it. So that's at least interesting.
Yeah, those things are remarkably cheap.
Dude, they're so garbage, but there's so many of them.
When you have 8 ships in your list, like, it's like how many you can have some garbage ships. I mean, maybe one like lives on some nonsense like dice rolls, and then suddenly you're carpet rolling somebody.
Well, and so the other side of that is network calculations is deceptively good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I don't think the 8 is good. The like 6 with like Watts or somebody providing Kraken so that you keep those calculates turn over turn.
Mm-hmm.
That seems real good. Because the games that I've seen where you either didn't have a Kraken on the board or they lost the Kraken early, those ships get very calculate starved. When you have Kraken and you're saving a couple every turn, and then a few of your guys move into block and then calculate, and they're just passing them off to other people that have shots, that's when like all of their shots and all their defense, you know, holds around and sticks a lot longer than they should.
Yeah, I follow. So hopefully, I mean, there was like a brief moment when the Bulbasaur shell list like became like a thing, but
yeah,
it kind of died down there for a second. Yeah. Although
it's still being like, I mean, well, Hagwood still runs it. And like, you see it around. Like, I think it's a very good list. I think it's like a B plus to A minus tier list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, you'll get wins. You can get far if you know what you're doing with, you know, ordnance and range control and that kind of stuff. It's just, it's got a few lists out there that are, that it just kind of can't handle. And then also it's got a few, like you'll have that bad variance game where you just like lose 3 of your vultures before you get to shoot. You go, oh, okay.
Man, my Sinker, Luminara, and Torrent Fighters list actually went down. So by 1 point. Yeah,
nice. There you go.
Hey, that's not a bad Jouster list, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if we switch to Republic, if you're not Anakin, like, they got cheap. They're still doing well. And spoiler alert, Anakin's still plenty cheap enough. You can still fit him and a Jedi and some Torrent blockers. You just lose some of your bid.
How do you is the newer Anakin going to see any play, or do you think it's Padme and Handmaidens?
Jesus, it's Padme and Handmaidens. Oh yeah. My god, it's so good. Like, here, try and kill Omega Leader that you can't hit and you can't modify stuff against, and oh wait, they have juking plasma torpedoes coming back at you. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, how far up does Juke need to go? Because it's already almost double the points that it initially started at.
Right? I mean, I don't know. It's probably fine. Like, I think it's fine probably where it's at. Where are we at? Well, they're there. Okay. What's that new boost do for? I mean, Handmaidens are 44 points. That's a non-trivial amount of points. And they can't take Juke. So, like, a Plasma Torpedo Handmaiden is, you know, a whopping 53 points.
Yeah, you want to... I feel like that's a ship that I want to be right at around 25%, so it's close.
Yeah, yeah, but, I mean, it's just a little high, and it's it's an IT-1, right? Like...
Yeah.
I mean, just Juke Padme is 52 before you even get the Torp on her.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, my torrents are coming back. They're coming back, guys. It's going to be fine.
Two torrents are garbage. Get out of here.
Man, I've got one that's got like, what, four of them in the list? It's fine, Tyler. It's fine. All right, so that is, let's see here. Did we have anything else that we wanted to cover in Separatist? Or do we want to talk about some generics?
I mean, so the hyena bomber coming in is going to do some stuff. Like, I don't know what that stuff is. But I'm sure someone's going to figure it out, and it's going to do a couple cheeky tricks, and I'll be like, oh, all right, that's cool. Like,
it's so still super cheap, too.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys ever play against anyone flying Trajectory Simulator after the points change?
No, and that's a really interesting... Yeah. Like, no, hold up. I did. Remember that game I talked about where I had to go with the TIE Swarm against Emon Azamine with Boba Fett crew? Like, the most horrible thing... Just like I would have rather banged my head against a wall for like an entire game because of the amount of stress it caused me.
You also just didn't recognize it ahead of time to like counter corner one of your rocks so that they couldn't trap you.
Hey, the fact that I won that game is one of my more proudest achievements in X-Wing.
Yeah. But like,
Emon can't take a trajectory, Ricky.
Well, yeah, but he's still Emon.
He's similar.
Yeah.
But the point, I just wanted to, I thought it was interesting. It went from 3 all the way to freaking 10.
Yep.
And then, like, no one played it, and they still didn't touch it. I wonder bomb.
The Resistance Benny bomb, like Benny Resistance Bomber, got a lot of play.
Yeah, and hey, he went down.
I'm just saying, okay. Well, I never.
Trajectory, but yeah.
I never saw Trajectory. I saw one guy fly Vinny, but that very, very few and far in between, and didn't see a whole lot of tournament success either. So I'm just wondering if...
It saw a lot more in Europe, for sure.
Did you do Vinny Ray Poe at all reasonably now?
No. It was Vinny in, like, 2 A-Wings, dude. Like, this was a really fat Vinny.
I'm like just wondering if that new bomb has kind of got the devs like, let's just hold off and see how this range 2 bomb goes before we... Like, really? You don't even reduce it to, like, 8 or 9? Like,
I mean, dude, you can make Trajectory Simulator 20 for all I care. Like, get that card out of the game. No thank you. And the new...
I totally agree. That card is no fun.
Yeah, it was never a good idea.
Blair, I just want to go ahead and say what a stand-up guy you are for being a pretty well-known Swarm player and still going, you know, like, do they need to look at Trajectory Simulator again?
Well, I'm not saying they do, but I'm wondering what they're... I'm wondering if it is because of this new bomb, because I can't really see what else. I think the tournament success that it had dictates that it should have gone down at least a point or two, but I'm thinking we've never seen a range 2 bomb. So I'm wondering if that's got them thinking like, let's just hold off for a little while and see. So
I hate Trajectory Simulator with a passion. It doesn't make any sense. So good riddance, and I hope that they earn it.
But can I say, Ricky, because I don't think we talked about this, or if you did, I wasn't on, but I kind of like the new bomb. I kind of wish that's how bombs worked. Like, I would be fine with Trajectory if they had fuse markers like this, to where I can see it coming,
right?
And I can play around it. Like, in 1.0 with, like, Nim, it was just like, nah, I'm eating it, here we go. Yep. And now it's like, okay, there it is. Now I actually am allowed some counterplay.
Yeah, you know where it's going to be, you know when it's going to go off. Yeah, yeah,
I kind of wish that's how bombs worked from the get-go, but it's going to be really interesting to see how that thing turns out, because it's still, even with the range 2, there's still going to be some times where it's like, nah, I can't get out. Nope.
Especially if you've got like a wall or something that they just are not going to be able to get behind.
Well, so that bomb is interesting. I'm not sure it's actually good in any way.
Well, yeah, you're paying 24 for the bomb and trajectory. Like. Well,
yeah, but it also can only do shield damage. So like,
yeah,
I'm also fine with that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about some generic stuff. We mentioned angled deflectors. How big are those going to be, in your opinion? Because the idea of, well, I mean, we talked to, like, the thing is that people are worried about it, but I think unless you've got a list that is especially good at generating actions, it's still like for opportunity cost, you know, not necessarily even as good as like focus.
It's not good. That's exactly right. Is there are very corner case situations where it will be good, but not only is there the opportunity cost of your actions, so like your guns are not going to be as good, you still take a damage more than likely with the reinforce, right? With new reinforce, mm-hmm. and you start with one shield lower, and it costs you points. So I'm not sure. The funniest thing that I've heard is putting it on TIE FOs that have Fanatic so that you start the game without your shield.
That's pretty funny.
16D chess. Let's go.
That's certainly there.
Outside of that,
Landers went up.
Fine. Gone. Go away. Just like and Han loses Alyssa's slot. Good. Nothing of value was lost.
There was great rejoicing. All right. So with the point changes, let's talk broad level. What are we like sort of looking at and expecting in this brand new meta of X-Wing?
So I think generally I'm pretty happy with these changes, Ricky. I think it was a lot more measured than last time.
The thing is that every single time I'm generally happy with what they've done, and we've gone through three of them, right?
Essentially. I mean, we had the first reveal and then two adjustments. Mm-hmm. You know, I still think it's a little naive to think that over the next 3.5 months, someone's not going to figure out something just stupid for Worlds. So,
I mean, yeah. They will, 100%.
Yeah.
So and it's probably Sense Vader.
I'm interested to see if the devs are going to feel motivated to do anything before Worlds or not, out of the standard 6-month schedule.
Be curious if we'll find another triple ups on, basically.
You know, it's funny because because in my opinion, the closer it gets to Worlds, even though if it's becoming more and more like, you know, known that certain list combinations are a little degenerate, the closer they get to Worlds, it seems like the less likely they are to make changes because people are, you know, prepping for Worlds, et cetera.
Yeah.
Even if those become more and more like known necessary. Yeah. Although I'll tell you what, like grand scheme of things, for me, I love that they have the ability to do these points adjustments. Every single time we go through these, I feel like the idea that they weren't going to write down points becomes a more and more plainly correct one. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's pretty cool. The only thing I can say is, you know, thank God that I can still play the TIE Swarm because I haven't had a chance to play anything else yet, and I can at least still do that okay. Tyler, what do you see coming up? What's the big thing to watch out for, or what do you see coming forward with this new points adjustment?
I mean, so triple Phantom plus one is still going to be a thing. You've got Gideon, you've got Sienna, you have a cheap striker, like as a blocker, like that's absolutely going to be something that people will fly. It's still going to be good. Like it's not four Phantoms, but it's three Phantoms plus one. I'm annoyed at, Brooks for lying to me on their, on the Twitch cast. Cause he said I could get two jukes in my four Phantom list. And that is not true, sir. But
how rude.
It right? How dare like he probably thought I was gonna like take MDARs or something like that instead of Sigmas. Come on now. Who does that? My Sense Vader fell in three academies, still fits. I thought that was easily gonna be 5 points over. Like I was gonna have to drop one of the academies and move to like double striker or something like that. And nope, we're good. So yeah. I don't know why they're letting me do that, but cool.
Great, you know.
Because, like, I mean, I just get to, like, invalidate a faction. Like, Jedi are still really good, and as is Anakin, and they base all their strategies around Anakin, and I can just go hunt him for free. Like,
yeah, you're the daddy version.
You're damn right I am. Yes, and so if you're anybody who's not named Doug, I just win.
That's funny. All right, so let's move on from the points update. Let's start.
Ricky, let me give one shout out real quick.
Yeah.
So looking at the system open results from the last points update to today, Quad Phantoms is basically in first, right up there with, it's pretty close between Rebel Beef and that, depending on, you know, your analytics, but granted, Beef came along a little bit later, but I think most people would say Quad Phantoms won the extended for this last 6 months.
Yeah.
The other trick, right, too, is there were less people flying Quad Phantoms comparatively to Beef. Like, there was a lot of Beef that didn't get anywhere, but lots of the Phantoms got places.
So, that list now is 214. That's only 7% over. I think that just goes to show, like, just how difficult it is to get it right for the devs.
Yeah.
Is that even if something is 7% off, it's really not that much. And look how much better that 7% is than everything else. So just a little disclaimer there that it is very hard for them to get it right.
Yeah, that's why, like, again, that's why I'm so happy they left themselves the room to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. All right, so is there anything else we want to talk about, or do we want to go through stuff we've been playing and shoutouts?
I will say this. Defenders all went down by 2 points. Except for Vesper, I think he only went down one. But still, Defenders went down by 2 points. So we're getting real close.
I love how, like, Ryan Fleming hadn't said anything in Discord for like a month, and then
you just must have missed him. It's fine. He comes in to rage about Defenders about every once a week at least.
That's funny. All right, so let's talk about let's move on to shout outs and what games we've been playing that aren't X-Wing. I don't know, like, let's see here. Blair, you want to go first? What, you got any shout-outs and anything that, what have you been playing recently that isn't X-Wing?
Well, I'm still doing a lot of basketball. We've been doing Summer League. When I'm not doing that, I'm still playing a lot of Apex. That's basically been all my spare time, really.
That's not too bad. I still need to get into that game, but I'm awful at shooters. I'm going to be like a second Tyler.
Like, Christ. Oh, man. What? Like, who was I playing with? I think it was Chris and Bun a couple of nights ago. And at one point, they, like, got down, and Bun was trying to get Chris up. And they were like, they're moving on us. Bun's just like, Tyler, go distract them. I'm like, all right, cool. Just going to run in front of them. I got this, boys.
Tyler, you got any shout-outs, or is Apex the only thing you've been playing? What have you been up to?
No, I've been playing a bunch of Dota Underlords. So it's like another auto chess clone.
Nice.
So that's a lot of fun.
What is this auto chess thing? Like, someone walked me through this. Okay. Someone told me got the word chess in it, and autos.
So, right. So it's auto chess was the first. I think it's the first. I don't know a ton about this. Teamfight Tactics is the League of Legends version, and then Dota Underlords is the Dota version. But basically, the idea behind it is you have a 8x8 chessboard.
Okay.
Right. And every round you get money, and you buy pieces that are the characters from the different IP. I'm not sure what auto chess uses. I might use generic, but, like, so Dota characters or League characters. And then you put them out on the board, and then each round they fight the other opponent, right?
Now, like in a tactics game.
Right, but you don't control them in any way. Like, they just automatically fight, and they fight it out, and the AI controls everything, and then you see who wins. And if you lose, you lose some hit points. If you win, and you go on a winning, you, like, get some extra money, basically, is the rough side of it, right?
Uh-huh.
And as you're going, you increase in levels, so that means you can put more dudes on the chessboard. And eventually, like, when you get to the end game, which will be like 25, 30 rounds in, you'll have anywhere between 8 and 10 characters on the board. And as you buy the characters, you buy duplicates of them to make them bigger, right? So it's every 3, they like rank up at a star. And then there's different tiered. So there's like 1 cost through 5 cost dudes. And then you want multiples of them to get them to be, you know, the bigger versions of themselves. Wow. And then there's like synergies. So it's like if you bring extra humans, or if you have like 6 assassins on the board, they have a higher chance of getting a critical hit and doing more damage with the critical hit, right? But if you bring like knights, they give each other armor if they're next to each other, that kind of stuff.
So you're trying to predict what they're going to buy so you can counter it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, to a point, it's like that side of it is a little bit more or less. It's you want to be able to get into a strategy that like is a winning strategy, right? So there's, you know, like probably 5 to 7, but hey, meta lists, right, that are good. Uh-huh. So like right now I've been playing a lot of assassins, so I want to get to 6 assassins because that's like the breakpoint for the next critical hit increase.
Uh-huh.
So they do tons of damage, but then you need stuff to keep the assassins alive. So I generally run like 2 of the bigger, beefier druids because they just tank a bunch of damage, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, if I get an extra space, it's, you know, what's the extra piece I need to counter something, like, you know, there's the 1 or the 2 counter pieces. It's the, I have a main strategy. And then I try to like, so for example, if there's a lot of people running mages, there's the Nagas give you magic resistance. So it's like, okay, well, in my assassins, they'll have 1 of them will be a Naga. So I need to pick up a 2nd Naga to get magic resist.
Right.
But yeah, it's just kind of running numbers and percentages, that kind of thing to, you know, God damn it, player.
God damn it, player.
Oh shit. I was perfect the whole time.
So good. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Still playing Apex as well. Playing a bunch of beach volleyball too. So, you know,
nice.
I think you
nice.
Would like, Dota, at least, the Underlords is free on Steam.
So
you can check it out there.
Yeah, that sounds cool. It has the word chess in it, you know, so right? I gotta at least look at it.
Right.
Blair, what have you been playing?
Did you just ask me again what I've been
playing? Yeah, he said Apex.
guys. Okay, so I've been playing 5th edition D&D. I finally broke down. I'm running that on Monday nights. I'm like one of the 4 people that still like 4th edition. And I still prefer 4th edition, but here's what I'll say about 5th that I like. It's easy for starters, and that cannot be undersold, even while still being crunchy. It's pretty easy for as far as D&D is concerned, and the amount of like the amount of goddamn support there is for this game in homebrew stuff and adventures from third parties and stuff. You go to the DMs Guild, which is like a website that has all of this like third party material, and oh my god, I feel more like a curator as a dungeon master than I do an actual like writer or designer or anything. I just go find people who are professionals who have written the adventures I want. And I sort of like, you know, I just put a fresh coat of paint on it so people don't notice. And I have like a whole adventure I can run, or completely new rules for, you know, this thing that we want to do. You know, there's strongholds and, you know, units that like that the players control and stuff. It's kind of like how we were doing Tyler with the Star Wars game, right? Where you guys had units and assets and stuff.
Yeah.
Except I don't have to ever come up with any of the rules.
Right, right.
Right. Like instead of me coming up with that stuff and going, what the hell does this do? I don't know yet. Hopefully they don't ask me, right? I actually have rules for all that stuff. It is crazy how easy it is to run 5th edition. Like I cannot believe it. So I've been doing that.
I played a couple 5th edition games. I enjoyed it. I struggled with the, like, they dumbed down so many of the mechanics that it got a little frustrating. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like the whole, like, you either have advantage or disadvantage and that's it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But like, I want to press that advantage. Like, I've blinded you, I've set you up in flank, and I've done this other cool thing, and I still just get advantage.
And the thing for me is that advantage is mathematically really, really good, right? Like, you're given... I don't remember what the number is. It's like somewhere between +4 or +5 to your roll. And I'm kind of, I agree with you, but from another perspective, right? Like, I don't think everything needs to be around a plus four to a plus five, you know, average to your roll. Sometimes just a plus one or a plus two is good.
Yeah, right? That's fair. I get what you're saying. Yeah, for sure.
And maybe you just need a little bonus for the situation, right? Like, it doesn't always have to be advantage or disadvantage. Sometimes minus one AC is okay.
Yeah.
And
well, there's also times where I would be frustrated where it was like, I set up a really good advantage, but it's still just advantage. And the same thing where I was playing a warlock that cast darkness a lot, but he had the like warlock sight to where he could see through magical darkness.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go way too down the rabbit hole for this, but you said like a word that triggered me.
What's that?
Darkness, the darkness. Yeah. This is my biggest issue with fifth edition to fourth edition. So fourth edition, darkness created an area burst three, and it blinded everyone inside it except for you, and everyone outside of it was, and everybody who was looking inside into the darkness, everything was heavily obscured there, aka you couldn't see it, right?
Okay.
That's the freaking rules, right? In fifth edition, if it creates the darkness, right, and you're blinded inside, heavily obscured, or whatever that version is, but daylight now counteracts it, so there's some damn rules that you have to look up.
Daylight's always countered it in all of
and pre I'm talking fourth, right? In 3.5 and earlier, daylight countered it too, right?
But it didn't counter it in fourth?
Nope. It just darkness worked, daylight did its own thing. Although I don't think daylight even existed in fourth.
Daylight was also a level 3 spell versus level
2. So here's this whole argument I have with my party is they want to know how this paladin who's got this sword that like gives off light, how that works in the darkness. And so I spent 2 hours looking up these damn rules because darkness talks about killing non-magical light, but doesn't say what happens with magical light. So apparently magical light works in the darkness, right? Which doesn't make any freaking sense and took way too much to look up.
In fifth edition?
Yeah. So if you've got like a candle that's a magic candle, the light it gives off, you can see everything that's like around the darkness. It doesn't counteract it at all. It's weird. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know as we played it that way, but like, I mean,
I had two players that were arguing, and I'm like, I'm gonna go look this up. And we're just gonna do whatever the hell the rules are. Anyways, I'm clearly triggered by this. It's not a good time.
Okay, so so I'll give you the why I was frustrated with it side of it, which was, so like my warlock's main defensive capability, if like shit went awry, is he dropped darkness on himself because he can see through it. Like I took took the buff that like I can see through magical darkness.
It's like true sight or something like that. Yeah.
Oh well, no, it was like the warlock
devil sight or devil whatever, sight. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have a big advantage against you because I can see. The problem is, like, it's just disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like you physically can't see me. You don't know where I'm at. But if you pick the right square up, it's just disadvantage. Like
you know, the funny thing is in fifth, like it's not even pick the right square because until you actually are quote unquote hidden, you know what square they're in. You just have disadvantage to fight them. Which yes, come on, is the right response to that. Like I found that out too, which I was kind of blown away by. Even if you're blinded, you know what square the person is in until they roll a stealth check with advantage and are then hidden, even though you're blinded. Anyway, so silly stuff. I still love 5th, though, so far. I'm having a blast running it. I just spent, like, 5 minutes on D&D. Anyways, all right, so...
Let's be real. Most of our listeners are going to care more about this section of the podcast than anything we've talked about previously.
I have threatened to do another Captain's Quarters just on RPGs, although I want to do one on, the Game of Thrones finale and some pop culture stuff, but we'll see if I ever get into that. Yeah, all right, so, just talk about various, how TV and movies are becoming almost the same damn thing. And Game of Thrones and Marvel are like great, like opposite versions of that, but still the same thing where Marvel's more or less a giant 22 movie TV show, serialized TV show. And Game of Thrones may as well be a movie, or certainly by the end, may as well have been a movie. Anyway, we might do that. All right. So let's go ahead and wrap the bow of this thing. Knock it out. Let's go ahead and close this out. So for Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, and for Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, I've been your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Thank you, Galactic Holonet, and good hunting. Woo! We made it! We made it! We did it!
Did I hear Apex boot up in the background there, Blair?